And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Bird to your mother, it's time for another episode of Birds with Friends. Just some high-flying, ran-fast, vertical stems of professors from Penn watching eagles eat and pray like Pazookies on birthdays. It's Philadelphia, Marissa, Bo, and Zach kicking it cooler than three penguins till Zach runs off with his valet keys. He's a real nuanced goose. Pull up a branch, get loose, it's time for some juice on some
Birds with Friends.
The early bird gets the worm, but prefers getting turned like a turn on some
Birds with Friends.
Marissa, Bo, and Zach are here to squawk. Don't miss the mistress talk on some
This is what it's all about. We do daily podcasts for like 2.5 weeks during training camp.
Well, you got all kinds of time for guests and nonsense.
I will open up a 2-hour block.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Birds with Friends on a Tuesday afternoon. Game week is here. We are days away from the open to the regular season. Bo Wolf, Zach Berman here as we turn our attention to the Eagles season. Zach, we haven't talked in a while. The last pod was like 6 days ago. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Excited for this pod. Excited for the season. It's finally here.
I missed
here.
You. I missed doing the show with you. How you doing?
Yeah. It's look, we'll have plenty of opportunities to do the show. We are.
Do you think it would be overkill? Like, what if we did a show every single day, like 5 days a week all year long? Do you think that would be too much?
No, I think it will only get better, frankly.
You think it'd be content overkill?
I certainly hope not.
Okay.
But the season is here.
It's like six days away from you. It's too long.
The season is upon us, and there's so much to be excited about. In Philadelphia in particular. Yeah, we spoke to Nick Sirianni about an hour ago. And it's like, all right, let's just get the show on the road. There's not much else to talk about at this point, right? You're not gonna tell us who the starting safety is. We get that. You're not gonna tell us what the punting situation is, although we assume you're gonna elevate Tsitsipas from practice squad unless you sign someone else to the practice squad who you then elevate. And
not gonna do that now.
They did work out.
It's already started. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like, all right, Eagles, Patriots, Tom Brady week. Let's get into it. Let's do it. Right.
Is Brady playing?
He's not playing, but he's being honored. He's being honored. Yep.
Just as you feel like you honor him every time you strap up your bootstraps. It's like you're trying to be the Tom Brady of what you do. Good Jalen Hurts story. Well,
thank you. And in the vein of Tom Brady, whenever someone asks me what my favorite story is, you know what I say?
The next one.
The next one. Yes. I appreciate you saying that about the Jalen Hurts story. You know, I made that drive, as we discussed, up to Wilkes-Barre in March on a Thursday night.
You've been waiting to make something out of that time.
And yeah.
I'm sure that evening trip was probably the kind of thing where I'm guessing Emily was thinking, Zach, it's March. Do you need to be doing this right now?
1,000%. 1,000%. Right?
And you get to print out today's article and say, see, this is what it was for.
Yeah, it's a Thursday night in March. And it's like, who else is going? Well, no one else is going. And that's why I'm going, Emily. And, and she's like, you know. But, when I heard Jalen's speech, I said right there, that's the tenor for the season. That's the message. And so a lot's happened since
then.
That's going
to be my week one story. That's going to be in there.
He signed his contract. He became a Jordan endorser. There's a lot that
you were all over the Jordan thing. I mean, that was a good call. I mean, you were all over that. You wrote about that years ago.
A year ago, yeah. Harrison Kulik said, say Wilkes-Barre like that again and we are fighting. Did I say it incorrectly?
I actually don't know how to pronounce Wilkes-Barre.
I thought it's Wilkes-Barre. Is it Wilkes-Barre or Wilkes-Barre?
Let's look it up.
I just knew growing up, you know, as a Phillies fan, Scranton Wilkes-Barre.
Wilkes-Barre.
Wilkes-Barre? Scranton Wilkes-Barre? Okay. Bo got it. All right. Thanks, Harrison.
Wilkes-Barre. Yeah. Like Bradbury. So, that's how you can remember it.
Like Bradbury.
You're doing, yeah. You're getting. I'm getting a lot of feedback on the mic moving. I just got to say.
Okay.
I'm gonna take a
step back. Okay. That's why I've been holding the mic. You see, I'm gonna go back to holding it.
I think the holding is good for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a fan of comedy. It's like you're up on the stage at the Comedy Cellar.
Boom. I like that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So let me ask you this, Zach. There is. I guess I could throw it to the Stone Cold Newsman because I think there's one interesting piece of news that the Eagles released today. So let me see if I can dig up the graphic here, because I'm running this bad boy myself, and we'll send it on over to the Stone Cold Newsman from somewhere outside Philadelphia, Zach Berman, on the scene.
Nick Sirianni held a meeting in which he announced the captains for the Eagles. How many captains do you think they have? One on offense, one on defense, one on special teams. Maybe two on offense, two on defense, one on special teams. No, the Eagles, as a matter of fact, have not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven, not eight, but nine captains. The captains are Jalen Hurts, Darius Slay, Jake Elliott, Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, Brandon Graham, Jason Kelsey, Lane Johnson, and Fletcher Cox. This is the first time that Brown and Smith are captains. The other seven have been captains before. Elsewhere in the news, the Eagles brought back old friend Nicholas Morrow yesterday. He's back on the practice squad, along with Tyree Phillips, 26 years old, 18 career starts, joins the practice squad. The Eagles released Taiwan Mullen. We hardly knew you, Taiwan. Brought him in last week, released him today. And Kyron Johnson, who is, Bo had him on the 53, and he's not even on the practice squad week one. But I imagine we'll see Kyron again. Elsewhere, number news. I know this is something that fans tend to eat up. Tanner McKee is now wearing number 19 for the Eagles. Aaron Sipos remains number 10. They both wore number 10 this summer. And then Kelee Ringo takes number 22. Trey Sermon does not have 22 anymore. Trey Sermon's not on the roster. I did ask Eli Ricks last week if he was going to change from 39. He said he'll do it next year. Confident in Eli. That's a confident Eli. He's expecting to be here next year as well. Back to you in the studio, Bo.
Thanks, Zach. Eli's coming. Zach, if you have nine captains, that's 17% of the roster. Is that too many?
Who am I to say? I mean, I'm not appalled by it. I know some people like think that's overkill. It's a captain. It's fine. It makes AJ feel good. Makes Devontae feel good.
Well, you say that. I have a serious question here. Mm-hmm. Do you think? Well, first of all, what is your understanding of how the captain process happens under Nick Sirianni? Do the players vote on it and they take that into account? What is that? What's the deal?
Yeah, I believe it's voted upon. Yes, by their peers.
Okay. Now, do you believe that both AJ Brown and Devontae Smith reached the threshold for captaincy? Or do you think that one of them did and Nick Sirianni, you know, locker room chemist that he is, knew that he could not make one of them a captain and not the other?
It's like AJ Brown said, and appreciate us while you have us. Don't try to make it AJ versus Devontae. That could have some validity. I would like to think that they both got votes. I don't know what the voting threshold would be.
Right. I mean, like it's probably there probably is no real threshold so that it allows for some, juking of the stats. But
yeah,
presumably it's not like, it's not like the, when we watch the NFL Top 100 crew come in and just give guys a list after practice to write down 25 names. I mean, I would think if you're naming captains, it's like you vote for three people or something like that. I don't know. So
yes.
I feel like it would be surprising if nine guys crossed that threshold, but good on them.
Yeah. I have no objection to them. I saw Colorado the other day had leaders and dogs, right? Not captains.
Which
L's
is better?
And D's. Well, I think Deion Sanders said you don't need to be a leader to be a dog, and you don't need to be a dog to be a leader, or something like that. So I don't know which one's better. I'd probably rather be a leader than a dog.
Look at yourself. Dog so, mentality.
Yeah, I would much rather be a leader than a dog, probably.
Yeah. Okay.
Although I would imagine the two don't have to be mutually exclusive. I'm gonna try to put this down again and just not touch the desk.
Okay. So I mean, I like stand up comedian Zach. Okay. Now, obviously, the live listeners will appreciate that I am wearing the classic pyramid scheme email shirt, the original, which you can still buy at TeePublic, I believe. I don't know who knows how long that site will still be up. So, you know, get it while it's good, I would say.
Get it while it's good. I like that.
At the Birds with Friends TeePublic store. Anything else that you feel like we need to unpack about the current state of the Eagles before we step back and start talking about our big picture thoughts as we head into the season for this Eagles team?
No, I think we've had basically daily pods throughout the summer.
I don't think.
Yeah. I don't think there's much more to unpack. Later in the week, we'll get into the Patriots game. We'll see them at practice this week, and we'll have a better understanding there. But
you think Nick will send out Matt Patricia as a captain for this game?
I don't. I imagine he's trying to find out more from Matt Patricia about the Patriots, right? But no, I don't think Matt Patricia is going to be a captain. Do you think Matt Patricia will get recognized on the screen at Gillette Stadium on Sunday? Do you think there will be like a thank you, Matt, for your work as offensive coordinator last year with Mac Jones?
No.
No. Okay.
You?
No, I don't anticipate that.
Is the Brady ceremony pregame or halftime?
Someone asked me that this weekend, and I don't know. But I certainly want to be in my seat to see it.
So no one can see what your pants are doing?
All right, that's a ridiculous statement there. Look, he's the greatest football player of all time. So,
I feel like that's a shot at Christian Ellis, but
so be it. I will tell Christian to his face if need be.
Okay. All right. We've got our crystal ball Eagle season predictions coming up in a little bit. We'll get to that later. You are defending a championship there, Zach, although.
Wait, I didn't hear what you said. Say that again.
I think a lot of people have been talking about. Let's see if Zach can actually make some interesting predictions this year, and not instead of just saying, "I think Josh Sweat's going to have 8 sacks." Like, okay, let's play up the entertainment value of these a little bit. But you tried to hit a few singles, and Danez gave you a few singles, so that's good for you. We'll see how you do this year. But in terms of some big picture thoughts as we wrap up the summer.
But real quick, I didn't hear what you said. There was feedback in my mic. Can you just repeat it just so I...
We'll get there. We'll get to the crystal ball Eagle season predictions.
Okay.
That draft, yeah.
Who won last year? I just want to clear that up. Who won last
you
year?
You won that. I won Super and all the other
you.
Stuff. Okay.
Thank you. Okay.
Big picture thoughts. Let me ask you this first.
Yes.
Compared to a month and a half ago, before training camp started, what is the thing Eagles related that you have changed your mind about the most?
That I've changed my mind about. I think
or your opinion has evolved.
Jalen Carter's legit, man. Mm. And shout out to Tim McManus, good piece yesterday on ESPN. I wish I wrote
it. Very good story.
Yeah, Tim did a good job there. Jalen Carter, I think.
What percent of your day did that ruin?
Look, I mean, Jeff McClain had a really good piece today in Mississippi. Went down to AJ Brown, the AJ Brown origin story. I don't want to say it ruins my day, but as a prideful writer and a competitive person, you want to be in on the action, right? So yeah.
Okay. Well, now you're bringing up too. I got to ask, which ruined your day more?
Probably the Jalen Carter one.
Hmm.
the AJ Brown one, you have to go to Mississippi, right?
Like sure.
That there's.
I mean, it's like a great cornerback, Zach. You know, you got to acknowledge that the other guys get paid too. They're going to make plays. You can't make everything.
Absolutely. I'm not disputing that. I'm giving credit where it's due, but I'm saying you want to be the one who writes that story. So
okay.
Credit to him. But Jalen Carter was, I thought post Ravens game, he really came on. So impressed with Jalen Carter. And then I see Steve Whitaker in the chat. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly.
It's Wilkes-Barre.
Steve Whitaker says, I'd say Blankenship. That's probably the thing that I would really need to kind of plant my flag, take the L and say that I've changed. When we were on this pod in July rather, I said it's going to be Sidney Brown and Terrell Edmonds. Reed Blankenship's their top safety by a wide margin.
Did anybody say that Blankenship was definitely going to start week one?
I believe you said that, yes.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
I believe you said
that. No, I'm having feedback. What was that?
Yeah. Okay. You said that. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's your pro. That's your kind of guy there. Blankets. That's a camp crush.
That's
so
right.
you've always decidedly been in the
drink my milk every morning. That's not true.
Yeah. So I'd say the blanket chip thing is where I've changed my opinion. And yeah,
that's not really an opinion. That's you just saw how it played out. Like, unless your opinion is changing that you like about how good you think he'll be.
Yeah, look, I thought the team was going to be really good this summer, like going into camp, and I still think they're going to be really good. That part hasn't changed. They've avoided the type of injuries that could, you know, really.
The injury thing is interesting because obviously there is luck involved. Like that is 100% true. There's no way to know like what factor there is there, but we do also have to acknowledge that like a lot of this is by design. The you know, red, green, yellow practices they have, it's a lighter schedule. Mm-hmm. They're on the field shorter times. Their bodies are being monitored, all the sports science stuff. And the only serious injuries they suffered were all in games. Like the most significant practice injury was Patrick Johnson, and he missed a week and a half or, you know, 2 weeks. There's no doubt that as we expect, you know, some bad injury luck to befall this team at some point because they were so healthy last year, you know, knock on wood, so far, so good.
Yeah, agree. And they need to keep that going for sure. But you know, as Howie said, it would be naive to expect that to remain the case. So we'll see. But I think that the fact that they're healthy, the fact that Jalen, AJ, Devontae, Dallas all looked really good this summer would give me optimism that this team's going to be a well-oiled machine. What about you?
So you took my answer. My answer is Jalen Carter. Okay. Because entering camp, I would have, and through the first half of camp, I was, you know, saying the same thing about the expectations for rookie defensive tackles have to be really held in check. Quinnen Williams had 2.5 sacks as a rookie. These guys, you know, Dexter Lawrence, close to the same thing. These guys who are the best in the league at doing what the Eagles want Jalen Carter to do have taken time. And it's not like those were developmental, you know, prospects. Those were also guys who were highly drafted from championship winning programs. Right. And it's not that, I have seen the flashes from Jalen Carter, which I have. It's the feeling that is clearly there in the building from the front office, the coaching staff, and the players. Like, they all believe that this guy's ready to be really, really good right away. That has to mean something to me. So that my opinion of expectations for Jalen Carter have changed. And at this point, you know, I would be disappointed if he doesn't have at least 5 sacks, something like that.
So let me ask you this. If the Eagles traded up to the number one overall pick, okay, and took Jalen Carter, would you have felt differently about how his season would play out? Like, would you have had the same skepticism going into training camp?
I mean, I would have, not the exact same, but I would have had, I would have said the same thing about just the historical precedent for that position.
And the reason I ask is because that's the type of prospect we were talking about when they drafted him is a number one, number two, number three player. Sure.
He went third overall and was said to be the best non-quarterback in the draft, right?
That's true. Yeah. Fair enough.
That's the one that, that keeps coming back to me. So yeah, I mean, yeah, of course it doesn't change what my expectations were at the start of camp for his career or the arc of his rookie contract. It's just that recent history tells us that it takes some time and maybe it won't for him.
Yes, absolutely. We'll
all right. Let's talk a little Jalen Hurts, Zach. We've talked ad nauseum over the years about how he keeps getting better every year. You know, he played the best game of his career in the Super Bowl. If he's going to get better in 2023, you know, if he's going to not just smell the smoke, but get to the other side, what does he need to do? What will constitute, you know, Jalen Hurts making a leap in your mind?
So I pay less attention to the high watermark and more attention to the baseline. Like the baseline.
You love the baseline deal.
Have I used this on the show before?
I only like, you know, every other week or something like that.
Okay.
It's okay. Not for Jalen Hurts. This is like a life philosophy for you. It's good.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. That's what you mean. Yeah. I haven't used it for Hurts, but okay.
Not for Hurts. No.
Yeah. With.
And what are your realistic expectations for him this season?
Well, we'll get to that in the next segment, right? I don't want to.
Oh, okay.
Because I have a Hurts item there.
Okay.
What Bo's referring to is I'm fascinated by the concept of, and it's actually something I've heard Malcolm Gladwell and Adam Grant talk about. Adam Grant. Typical performance versus optimum performance, right? Like, what's more important? Someone at their best or someone on a typical day? In other words, like, if you wanted to see how good our show is, okay, would you say, Bo, Zach, give me your best show, or I'm going to pick a random day and see what your show was like that day? What's a better indicator of performance, right? And in Jalen Hurts' case, we know he could be spectacular, right? We've seen that. What I am curious about is how does he look on like the off day or the mediocre day? Like, is the mediocre day still doing enough that he's winning you games? That to me is what I want to see. When the baseline is so high that simply having him on the field gives you a chance to win that game. And I thought he was, you know, at that point really last year. And we're going to see it this year because their schedule is much more difficult. There are going to be weeks when the quarterback on the other side of the ball is, and, you know, I don't want to offend all the Jalen Hurts fans out there, but this is just the reality. You can make compelling arguments that the quarterback on the other side of the ball is the superior quarterback on that day. Not definitively, but, you know, whether you're talking about Patrick Mahomes, you're talking about Josh Allen, you know, they're going to see really good high level quarterbacks this season. So that's something that I'm curious to see with Jalen Hurts in particular. What about you?
I don't know if I agree with the like optimal performance versus baseline performance deal. I get for like, you know, I'm hiring like an analyst or something like that. Sure. But if we're talking about like, a professional athlete, I care more about give me the ceiling. You know, like Jalen Hurts is playing his best game on the biggest stage of his life mattered more than what he did in week 7.
You see, it's interesting because I've spoken to coaches who say what they care more about is like the consistency, the reliability.
Of course,
like, you know what
coaches are going to care about because that's their whole deal. That is what Jalen Hurts is designed to do, is to be the same thing every day. Like, this is, you are like speaking his language here, but I don't know. I want to know who's got the dog in him. Like I rise to the occasion. I feel like that's a thing.
So to quote my old friend, Chip Kelly.
You don't rise to the occasion. You sink to the level of your preparation.
You sink to your training. Exactly.
Okay, yes. That's fine. But like, you know, give me somebody who performs in the under pressure.
Someone performs under pressure. Okay. Yeah. Look, I don't think the two are mutually exclusive.
Yeah. That's
I'm just saying it's like.
And also, I think if you want to hire Bo and Zach, I think you watch the Ospreys.
Willie Burton on the Sixers had that 51-point game, right? You know, are you taking Willie Burton over someone who's
But was that 50? Game 7 of the NBA Finals?
Okay, fair point. What, Mike Miller hit 7 threes, I think, in a game clinching game of the NBA
Nick
Finals.
Nick Foles played the best game of his life in the Super Bowl.
All right, so that's a good one. Right, because before I came on the show, you and Sheila used to always talk about Nick Foles being a high variance quarterback, and I remember writing a story at the Inquirer at the time when Carson Wentz was the other guy, right? About the amount of times that Carson Wentz's passer rating like dipped below, I think it was 80, and went above maybe 100, and like most of his games were within there, you know, whereas Nick Foles was all over the place.
Right.
And like, which one would you rather have? Would you rather have the guy who looks like that in the Super Bowl, but then could also like have the clunker that he had against the Raiders? I don't know. I would personally rather have the consistent performance, but it's a fascinating debate, and it applies, I think, to all lines of work. That's why it's a question that I'm really curious about.
And I think, that's really my point, is I feel like it's, your answer wouldn't be the same for every job you were hiring for.
Sure.
You know, drop a banger every now and then. It's okay if you write Rick Lovato will be the Eagles long snapper for the foreseeable future and hit publish, as long as some other times you got some good ones.
I suppose so. Yes. Yeah, I'm not going to rip on that Rick Lovato story, but you have had many good ones.
Okay. Well, you mentioned Carson Wentz, and so let me phrase the question to you this way. Like, if you had talked to us in 2018, the expectation was that Carson Wentz was going to remain one of the best quarterbacks in the league. If one of the two principal characters for the Eagles, Jalen Hurts or Nick Sirianni, is going to turn out to be a mirage, is going to clock's going to strike midnight, one of these guys is going to turn into a pumpkin, who is more likely, do you think, to lose the magic of last season, Jalen Hurts or Nick Sirianni?
So what would that look like with Nick Sirianni? That's what I was curious about with this question.
I think with Nick Sirianni, it would look like
his
force
decisions?
Of personality sort of wears on, like, you know, his message stops being fully bought in the locker room. Maybe Jalen Hurts becomes, or somebody else becomes, a dominant personality on the team. He becomes less aggressive on game day and, loses a little bit of offensive design magic and, you know, is out of the job in 2 years or something like that.
Yeah, look, I really like Nick, and I think he's an outstanding coach. But between the two,
With Jalen, we'll say, his interceptions go way up.
Yeah,
you know, he cut those in half last year. He starts fumbling a little bit more, and also he cannot avoid getting injured.
Yeah, I think I'd probably go with Nick in this case, because, you know, man, being a head coach is hard as it is. And when you have like,
there you go, trying to humanize these guys.
When you have these types of expectations on the team and you face the gauntlet that they face, right? And they were so good last year. And how do you, like, think about it this way, they can be 11-6 and one of the best teams in the NFL. And it's like, what happened, Nick? You know, they could be rolling, but they lose twice to the Cowboys, and the Cowboys win the division. And it's like, Nick, did you underachieve? You know, it's like I feel as if the bar is so high, And hey, look, welcome to the NFL. That's it. That's how it goes. You make the Super Bowl, you go 14-3. The standard is the standard, right? Nobody cares, as Mike Tomlin would say. But yeah, I think that the bar is so high for Nick Sirianni that unless Jalen Hurts gets injured, I think we're probably looking at if things don't go well, it's like, it's like you said, did, you know, is Nick's message wearing thin, that kind of thing. I think things are going to go well, but I think of the two, Nick has the better chance of kind of being on that side of the ledger, if you will.
I think that I would answer it that generally speaking, like one of these guys totally collapsing, it's probably more likely that Jalen Hurts just keeps getting injured. Like, I think that is a possibility on the timeline. If we move away from that, I do think, like, you know, you see how much Nick wears it, right? Like,
yes,
you know, I mean, it's the first press conference of the year. It's Tuesday, week one, and he already looks exhausted. So, like, I could see just the marathon of like being a football coach getting to him at some point. I mean, you know, it's the thing he loves most in the world, right? But like he takes things hard, and you know, he's burning the midnight oil. I could see, yeah, a possibility where, you know, he gets to his Sean McVay situation where he's like, "Do I really want to keep doing this anymore?" I think that's a possibility, and I do think that if things go badly, you know, some injuries hit, and the team is 4-6 or something like that, I don't think it's crazy to think that maybe his, you know, rah-rah message loses a little bit of steam in the locker room. I think that's possible. That's, as you said, you know, being a head coach is hard. But I do think that, and also we should say, like, you know, he did lose both coordinators. It's a possibility, mm-hmm, that those guys just turn out to not be as good, and we get the whole brain drain conversation repeated ad nauseum again. So yeah, I would say that I think it's more likely that Nick takes a major step back than Jalen does. But I also agree that I don't think that that's like something that's definitely going to happen to either of them.
Yeah, I would gamble on neither one becoming a pumpkin.
Well, you would win that bet because like they would have to take it literally.
Fair enough.
But
fair
probably enough. I mean, the payouts would be very small.
Very small. Agreed. Okay.
Well, we just mentioned new coordinator, Zach. On defense, I'll give you a chance to, you know, ride the bus or take the car, whatever it is.
I think I know where this is going.
Last year, you know, for all the Jonathan Gannon discussion, this team led the league in sacks, fourth in EPA per drive. They were very, very good. This year, after all the turnover that they had, you know, new starters at safety, new starters at linebacker, replacing Javon Hargrave, older players at some key positions. What to you would constitute success for the Eagles defense in 2023, yeah, under Sean Desai?
Yeah, you see, I have a hard time with this question because I don't think it looks like what it did last year. And I don't think you're going to get the same volume of sacks because I think the game scripts are going to be different. And they're facing better quarterbacks this year. So I think it's like the Supreme Court line about pornography, right? You know it when you see it. And I think we'll know if this is a this
and
is
you
a
know it because it's in a folder labeled Saban and Belichick.
No such folder exists. I would say, to answer your question succinctly, how they perform against the best teams. You know, if there's a charge against Gannon's defenses that I would agree with, it's that they feasted on bad quarterbacks and struggled against good quarterbacks. And the caveat is there's a reason why good quarterbacks are good quarterbacks. Like if Patrick Mahomes could be stopped, then like every team would stop him, right? But I just think that there was a 2-year sample size of the way they played against high level quarterbacks compared to mediocre or below average quarterbacks. And I think that the measure of this year's team will be the way they perform in those games against like I said, Mahomes and Allen, Rodgers, if Rodgers stays healthy, Prescott twice, right? I mean, Prescott's performed, he performed well against those Gannon defenses. I mean, let's see, Tua has some weapons at his disposal, you know? And when Tua was pre-injury last year, Tua was on. So I think there's probably quarterbacks that I'm missing in there. But my point is how they play against those teams, I think, will show me the fitness of this defense.
That stretch after the bye, right? At Kansas City, home against Buffalo, home against the Niners, at Dallas, at Seattle. That five-game stretch that everybody is already looking at as like season-defining in a way, that's when you want to see if the defense has something else up their sleeve, right? I expect, you know, the third down plan to be a little bit more interesting and less
predictable. And what does that look like to you?
I think it looks like different coverages, more blitzing, or at least, you know, hiding who the rushers are. I don't want to lose sight of my main takeaway from the Super Bowl, which is that, you know, at the highest level, defenses don't matter that much. And I think that's true.
So simplistic, but okay.
Of course it is. And what I mean by that is like the taking it too far with the, like the Vic Fangio idea of, you know, and the Brandon Staley, Jonathan Gannon, like let's just eliminate big plays and let's make them, you know, consistently move the ball down the field and score in the red zone. And in the long run, that's going to pay off. That's true. I think that is a bad strategy against Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow and Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts and the best quarterbacks in the league. I think the best quarterbacks are better than they ever have been. And if you're going to force them to be patient, they will be patient. I think you need to invite some variance against the best teams and hope that you get a big play. I think that's what matters in those big games. So I want to see them be a little bit more unpredictable in those big games. And so I think that it will be sort of an eye test thing like you're talking about. If I'm going to have to define it, I would say that expecting that this defense is going to need, you know, some time to coalesce with a new coordinator and all these new pieces. Let's just say, you know, they've got the bye in week 10. If they are a top 10 defense by EPA per drive or DVOA or whatever you want to use the second half of the season, that's what it's all about. Like entering this team being better, entering the playoffs. I think that will be success given what they have on defense.
Well said. I agree with you there. I agree with you to an extent on your point about the defenses offense clearly matters more. I think
that's why there's five captains on offense and three on defense.
I think defense clearly matters, but I hear your point. And I think you stated that well. And I think the standard can't be the statistical performance from last year. It needs to be kind of the aggregate performance relative to their schedule and the way they play in those games.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/theathletic. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, Zach, let's get to the crystal bald eagle predictions. Let me see if I can...
Which was won by whom last year?
Well, let me see if I can pull up these, like, you know, wild predictions that you hit that were so so impressive.
You can't go broke making a profit. Yeah. Right? Isn't that what Jalen says?
I'm going to hope that, you know, I think we should have Danez on the show on Friday. Let's hope that he's a little bit more punitive with your, you know, singles predictions this year. You know, he had you at a 6-pointer for an Eagles assistant gets a head coaching job this offseason. And now, I don't know if you should get that point because we should take you literally here. You said an Eagles assistant gets a head coaching job
in
this
2 days. Yeah. I think I should get 2 points.
I feel like that shouldn't count. You had you missed on the Eagles don't have a winning record against AFC South and NFC North teams, and you missed on Jalen Hurts rushes for at least 1,000 yards. You hit on the aforementioned assistant one. You hit on the Eagles have 2 players reach 1,000 receiving yards. Again, given too many points of credit by Deniz. And you had the Eagles reach at least 40 sacks and the Eagles win a playoff game. I had the Eagles have at least 12 plays of 40 yards or more. That was the only one I hit. I had Dallas Goedert finishes as a top 3 fantasy tight end. It seems like that's a prediction I make every year. I assume that will not hit again. Fletcher Cox says something about Carson Wentz. A Titans receiver is flagged for responding to C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Devontae Smith has 2 touchdowns in the same playoff game. And Doug Peterson and the Jaguars win in the link in week 4, either by a lot or by a last-second touchdown. So there you go. Would you like to go first this year as the defending champion, Zach?
Sure. Okay. My first one here, and I'm pulling my work up here, is... Jalen Hurts sets the single season passing touchdown record.
In the NFL?
No, for the Eagles. That will be breaking.
I was going to say, you finally went bold. That's a good one. But
okay. That will be breaking Carson Wentz's record of 33 touchdowns set in 2017. Jalen Hurts, for as prolific as he was, not a very prolific touchdown passer. He had 22 last season. Okay, so you're talking about in order to break it, we need to get to 34. So you're looking at a 12 touchdown increase. That's pretty significant, given the way they played last year. Now, what this is going to require is it's going to require Jalen Hurts throwing the ball more than running the ball in the red zone, which Dallas Goedert on the Part of My Take podcast said is going to happen. So that's my first bold one. And I think that is fairly bold to predict someone setting the single season franchise record, the storied franchise that's existed for 70 some plus years, or longer than that, actually. Yeah, since what, 33? So almost 90 years.
This is a good one by you, because it is not as bold as you are proclaiming it to be, but you might get some points for that. I think Dennis is too smart to fall for that.
No.
Oh, you don't think he's too smart?
No, I think he's very smart.
Think he's too dumb?
I think he would give that to
dumb. That's a I think he would be in control of how many points you're going to get here.
No, I think
you liked people from Penn. You call him dumb?
I think Professor Selman is very smart. I'm saying, if you're saying something's going to happen that dumb has not is. Happened since the franchise was founded in 1933.
Yeah, of course. Like, of course, the passing rates and mean, passing.
Come on.
Statistics 19, from 1935 should be relevant here.
33. This is a bull take.
So like, listen, I think this is good because, you know, obviously the passing environment is better than it's ever been. You're talking about 12 more touchdown passes than he had last season. They're going to be in presumably closer games at the end of games this year. So they're going to be more passing opportunities in the second half. You expect that he's not going to have quite as many passing or touchdown runs himself this year. So as you said, they're going to pass a little bit more in the red zone. I think it's a good one. I think it's bold-ish. I don't think it's crazy, but it's a good start. That's a good one for you. I like it.
Well, I'm working on my boldness. So, okay.
Okay. Now, you're going with one that you think is bold. I'm going with one that's even bolder. This is something that has never happened in the history of the NFL. Okay?
Goodness.
I think there is a chance here that one of the greatest streaks in NFL history is broken this year. Since the dawn of time, the New York Jets have never, ever beaten the Philadelphia Eagles in a regular season game. It has never happened. This is the longest standing offer head-to-head in NFL history. I believe in week 6, I think it is, that when the Eagles go up the turnpike to the New York Jets for the first time in NFL history, the Jets will beat the Eagles.
This is not bold at all.
What are you talking about? It's never happened.
This is not bold at all. A matter of fact, I'm trying to see
it
here.
It never happened.
So I would bet that, and well, I can't find the point spread for that game.
It's the greatest streak in sports.
There's a chance that like the Jets might be favored in that game. Okay. The Jets are home. The Jets are loaded this year. They got Aaron Rodgers.
It's never happened.
The Eagles are playing on the West Coast the week before. All right. The Jets schedule here. Let me pull up the Jets schedule.
All right. Let me pull up how old the Earth is.
Okay. The Jets play
4.5 billion years old, and it's never happened.
Come on. I mean, I think mine was much more bold, but fine. We'll have a distinguished professor from the finest university in the Ivy League to litigate this for us.
First, you called Dana's dumb. Now you're saying Coach Flynn works at a dump. Like,
Not saying that either. I take a lot of pride in Philadelphia. Always said that. Stand by that.
Okay. You're up. You get the your second prediction.
Okay. Staying on the Jalen Hurts bandwagon, or not bandwagon, theme here. Okay. Jalen Hurts is the Eagles' leading rusher this season. That is a bold one, okay? And that's a bold one because there are very smart people, Bo included, who think that Jalen Hurts is going to stop running so much, that he got the extra digits in the contract, and all of a sudden the team's going to say, hey, we need to make sure that you're healthy, so don't run so much. And I'm saying, if you're signing up for the Jalen Hurts experience, you're signing up for the Jalen Hurts experience. And I'm saying that this committee backfield is going to, they're going to dilute the carries, that it's all going to be split up, maybe 500 here, 400 there, 600 there. That Jalen Hurts, when he gets his 750 rushing yards, leads the Eagles in rushing at the end of the season.
Okay. I think that would be bad. I think that would be a bad sign for the health of the franchise if Jalen Hurts leads the team in rushing, but I guess you're right. Embrace the uniqueness of his game.
Well said. That's a good line.
Do you believe that they want this running back backfield to be a timeshare? Or do you think they have brought in guys and thrown bets, diversified bets, and hope that one of them takes over the backfield?
No, I think they want the committee approach. I think they want the, as Nick Sirianni said today, he had his role meeting where he goes over the role of every player on the team. I think he wants all these guys to have certain roles. And I think that's the way this is going to play out. So I thought you put it well. There was a piece on The Athletic recently where it was like the fantasy football question for every team. And the word you used was plurality. And I think we need to be thinking in terms of plurality instead of majority, because I don't think anyone's going to take the majority of the snaps at that position for the Eagles.
I think by the second half of the season, they want to have a guy.
Interesting. Okay. I just think, like when Doug settled on Josh Adams.
Yeah. Right. First of all, it's a lot to handle. It's an extra thing to have to do on game day, right? Is figure out who's going to be in on the field at what time. And then you're also worried about, okay, we've got 8 games worth of tendencies. So like we use these guys at this time, and then you got to worry about breaking those tendencies. I think it's going to be a lot easier on them. And I think what they want is for one of the bets to hit. Like if DeAndre Swift looks awesome, they're not going to pull him off the field for, Kenny Gainwell just because they want to split the reps. If Rashad Penny is staying healthy and looks as good as he has on a per carry basis with the Seahawks the last 2 years, I think they want to feed him the ball. I don't know. I could be wrong. But also, they have these guys and maybe you lean on one week and a guy gets hurt and you lean on another guy the next week. We'll see. But, okay.
I think the part of this conversation that I really need to reinforce, okay, is that it's not just a health thing with Jalen. He is a really good runner of the football.
Yeah.
Right? And so your chances of succeeding as an offense improve significantly when you use him as a running threat.
That's a very good point. We probably understate that. Yeah. He's historically great at running the ball. Yeah. They had the Super Bowl on NFL Network, I think last night or the night before. And I was watching just the first couple drives.
Oh, what a football guy thing right there. Watching the Super Bowl. Yeah.
And there's that one carry he has on the opening drive where it's just like, Devontae Smith kind of blocks a guy for half a second and he just gets 11 yards, gets a first down. Like that stuff is so valuable. And he does it in a way in which most of the time he's able to keep himself from getting hit. So yeah, you don't want him to pass up those easy yards. I think that's fair. Okay. This is not the most exciting one, so I'm going to get it off the schneid now. But I think this is a thing we've seen happen before. And I think there are some possibilities out there. An ex-Eagle who did not spend the summer with the team ends up playing at least one game for the Eagles in 2023.
That is not even a single. That's a bunt.
What are you talking about? That's not a bunt. No, it's not. There aren't that many.
So basically, they go back to the well for someone who wasn't in training camp.
Yeah. I mean, come on. There aren't that many guys.
Come on.
I don't think it happened last year.
Come on. I mean, that's like when they brought back Marvin Wilson during training camp this year. Come on.
No, it's not. He's on the practice squad. He's not being asked to play a game. Here's my question to you. Grant Calcaterra suffers a season-ending injury. It's the trade deadline. What are you willing to send to the Arizona Cardinals for Zach Ertz?
Well, for me, I mean, he's a good quote. So, God, I like Zach.
What a brutal monkey's paw situation for Zach Ertz. Yeah. The guy's been wishing to get traded his whole, for years. It's like, okay, send me to a first place team. And since then, the way that those two roads have diverged, like you saw the look on his face in that Jonathan Gannon speech, the poor guy must just. Meanwhile, the Eagles are gassing up the core four. Like it could have been yeah. The thrive and five. Like what a tough situation for Ertz.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you there. And it's a shame, right? Because he wanted to finish his career here. They just did not want to pay him. So I don't think that's a very bold take, but we'll let Professor Selman be the judge of that.
Okay, you're up.
Okay. So this next one here is the Eagles use more than one punter this season.
I would say that this is even shorter odds than the Jets winning a home game.
I mean, this is them saying that we need to make a change here. We're not satisfied with our
motion. What happens last year happens and he gets hurt.
And he gets injured. Like, yeah. But how often do punters get injured?
I don't know. Once a year?
Very seldom. Yeah. No, I think this. So this is what I'm throwing out there to you.
Okay. Yeah, I would go low on this one, but that's okay. It's a good one. At some point this season, Zach. Whether it's when he's mic'd up on the sideline, whether it is during a press conference or during a radio hit, something like that. At some point this season, Nick Sirianni will double down and repeat the line that Jalen Hurts really trusts Jack Stoll.
I hope Nick listens to this. Because I can see him having fun with that one. Yeah, that look, there's got to be some type of scenario in which that you love that line. So sure, let's put that one out there. That is very specific.
Thank you. Okay.
This one here, this is a very high degree of not happening. Okay.
Okay, good.
Putting this out here, I don't think it's going to happen. But look, I'm swinging for some points here, and that is, the Eagles lose back-to-back games more than once this season.
Ooh, that's a good one. I like that one.
And so you're talking about at least four losses this team would have in that situation, and that the losses wouldn't be scattered, but would be those, like, the sky is falling in Philadelphia type things, right? If this team loses back-to-back games, there's a lot of,
what to you looks like the most likely back-to-back loss, the second most likely after Chiefs Bills. And let's say discounting either side of that.
Okay.
What do you think is the most likely back-to-back loss situation? I'll run through it really quickly. At Patriots week one, home versus Minnesota, at Tampa Bay, home versus Washington, at Los Angeles, at the New York Jets, home against the Dolphins, at Washington, home against the Cowboys. Then you got the bye, Kansas City, Buffalo. Then you've got home San Francisco, at Dallas, at Seattle, home Giants, home Cardinals, at Giants.
I think outside of the Kansas City, Buffalo, I mean, that stretch there's at Dallas, at Seattle, or maybe they lose the Dallas, lose the Kansas City, beat Buffalo, then lose the San Fran and Dallas.
Right.
I don't know. That stretch to me would be the one that jumps out to me.
Yeah, I think that's right. The first I was going to talk about this in our sort of season long predictions or at the end with our final record predictions, but that first half of the season, like, the getting needs to be good.
Yes.
I feel like if they are, I mean, definitely less than 6-3, but probably even 6-3 would feel like a bit of a disappointment with that opening 9-game stretch. you know, it's the National Football League. Any given Sunday, anybody can do anything. But just given the expectations, given the quality of the roster, I feel like if they're not at least 7-2, it would feel like a little bit of a disappointment.
Sure. I'm with you there. And I think we said it when the schedule came out. They need to pile up wins early because those wins are going to be harder late.
All right, I'm going to point you towards that Week 13 game, Zach. The rivalry game. This rivalry that has been fashioned out of tears on one side. Home against the San Francisco 49ers. In that game, the Eagles will get the ultimate measure of argument-ending bragging rights. In that game, they will defeat the San Francisco 49ers despite having to play a backup quarterback.
The Eagles playing a backup quarterback.
Now, I don't know if that means that quarterback will play the whole game, if Jalen Hurts will get knocked out of the game, but in that game, the Eagles will win despite a backup quarterback throwing at least one pass.
I mean, that would have to be like the ultimate eat your word, San Francisco.
That's what I'm saying.
Right? Yeah. Or that's to take that a step further. Yeah, what if the emergency quarterback goes in that game?
Right.
You know, and then all of a sudden they're like, the Eagles won because of the rule that we got instituted. Yeah, that's a good one. I like that one.
Thank you. Two left.
It's very specific too. Two left here. So the Eagles will lose two director level or higher front office executives this offseason.
So how many people are director level or higher in the front office?
There's about like six or eight of them. But you're talking about that's a pretty, you know, notable brain drain there. If you lose two guys who they've really tried to kind of promote from within here, develop their talent.
Can we specify for the purposes here that these are for promotions?
And it's not just, all right, good one. It's not just contracts expiring. Yeah, fair enough.
So basically, you are predicting that at least two people will be hired at the assistant GM level, at least elsewhere. Why don't we clarify it that way?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. I think this front office has become, for lack of a better term, the envy of the league, or one that the league really admires and respects. And I think there's a lot of good young talent. And as you astutely pointed out, when we had this conversation back in the spring, there weren't as many GM openings this season for there to be that type of change, kind of the assistant GM level. Typically, the year after, there's not a lot of GM openings. There are a lot of GM openings. And when there are GM openings, assistant GMs come in. And I think there's a lot of good young talent in this Eagles front office.
Okay, so there are 13 people at the director level. No, 14 in football operations. I can read them down to you. You tell me if you had to put your turkeys on one of these people being an assistant GM or GM elsewhere, who it would be. So you got Katie David, football operations director. Jeff Scott, director of football operations. Dan Ryan, director of team travel and football logistics. James Gilman, director of football analytics. Good podcast with Fran Duffy, by the way. Did you listen to that?
Did not. I have to listen to that one.
Kevin Dougherty, director of football operations, or video operations. Adam Berry, twin brother of Andrew, director of football operations and strategy. Connor Barwin, director of player development. Paul Lancaster, senior director of player engagement. Now you get to the higher level. Jake Rosenberg, vice president of football administration. Bryce Johnston, vice president of football transactions and strategic planning. Patrick Dolan, vice president of football technology. Greg Delamitros, vice president of equipment operations. Anthony, okay, so then you got Dom. Then you got Alec Hallaby, assistant general manager. John Ferrari, assistant general manager. And then you go to the scouting staff.
Yeah, I was thinking more of the scouting staff.
I know you are. Well, this is actually harder to find on the... okay, Dave Caldwell, Matt Russell, Anthony Patch, Brandon Hunt, Charles Walls, Alan Walking, and Phil Baya. And Max Gruder, director of pro scouting.
Yeah. So I think Brendan Hunt, Charles Walls, Alan Walking are three guys to pay attention to there. I think Alec Howlby is someone to pay attention to for potential GM openings, right? Because his next step wouldn't be assistant GM. His next step would be GM. And if the Eagles continue on this track, I think that's certainly something to watch. But I would say Hunt, Walking, and Walls are the three guys I would be mindful of in that spot for the assistant GM jobs.
Okay. I think Halliby, I think you're right that yeah. that's the most likely general manager hire.
Yeah. And look, he's been a part of a really successful front office here. He's been close to it. He thinks, you know, differently, thinks creatively, and he's been exposed to a lot of different ways of thinking here. I think he will be on lists.
Well, and I also think from the perspective of the way you described it before, if it is the case that the Eagles have established themselves as, you know, the kind of franchise that other teams want to emulate, I think that is the most obvious, we want to build what the Eagles have built higher.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, the Eagles are very, from what I hear, it's a good workplace, good organization to work in. That said, if you're ambitious about kind of moving up, like Howie's entrenched, right? Howie's entrenched. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it's kind of you have to go elsewhere sometimes to.
I think from having talked to people in the organization, in other organizations who have worked for the Eagles in the past, other organizations people who haven't, my impression of what it's like to work for the Eagles in football operations is that it's a good place to work because they treat employees well in terms of compensation, and it's a winning, like it's fun to be part of a winning team. Yeah. It is not a great place to work in terms of interpersonal relationships sometimes. And like the paranoia that exists sometimes, and that sometimes people go elsewhere and like, oh, this could actually be like a nice office to work. I didn't know that was possible in football.
Yeah. I also think winning tends to be a good deodorant to that kind of stuff too, right?
Right. So, okay. All right, I'm going to give you another one here. My second to last one. A member of the Beowulf Camp Crush Core 4. So Tanner McKee, Moro Ojomo, Christian Ellis, and Reed Blankenship. One of those four players, and it's more likely to be two of them, leads the Eagles defense in tackles.
So, leads the defense in tackles. Okay,
right, so it's probably not going to be McKee. It's probably not going to be Ojomo, but I want to be covered just in case one of those two things happens.
Okay.
It has been my stated position that I think that Christian Ellis might just be the best linebacker on the team. I think he will earn himself into a full-time role, and I think he may rack up some tackles. So he's the most likely one. I also think there's a possibility that, you know, there's injuries at linebacker and Reed Blankenship plays 17 games and racks up enough tackles to lead the team in tackles. So one of those two guys, one of those four guys, leads the team in tackles.
Like that. That's a good one. Jalen Carter.
Your last one, right?
Yep.
Okay.
So I have two here. One's like really off the wall, but I'm trying to get a base hit here. And actually, I don't even think this is a base hit. I think this is more of like a double round.
On the record now is accepting it as a base hit.
No.
So.
No, it's not a home run. I admit that. But it's a double rounding third. So
you mean rounding second?
Rounding second, two-thirds. So a reasonable Penn professor could view this as a triple. Just saying. Jalen Carter finishes in the top three on the Eagles in sacks. So
what?
That's, look, that means more
That's a
than,
single. That is no better than a single.
That's not a single. Sure. No way. Okay. So let's take Sweat and Reddick out of the conversation for a moment. I almost knocked down my water. I was okay. Let's take Sweat and Reddick out of the conversation. You're talking about Brandon Graham, double-digit sacks last year. Fletcher Cox, 7.5 sacks last year. Nolan Smith, who has a higher probability of getting to the quarterback around the edge. You're talking about your boy, Milton Williams, who you think is going to be like the second coming. Okay. You think – so – you're talking about, you need Jalen Carter to play enough, okay, on third downs and passing downs. B, you need him to pressure the quarterback. You, of all people, who've been saying, oh, defensive tackles don't – rookie D tackles don't get sacks. Only – here, only two rookie D tackles have had more than six sacks in a season. And now I'm saying a
over
team
the last decade.
That had – over the last decade.
Not ever.
A team that had – four players last year reached double-digit sacks. Four, okay? Jalen Carter, the rookie defensive tackle who's defying the odds, is going to finish top three on this team. I mean, who says triples are lost? This is a triple right here.
That's a base hit. Now, before we get to the merits of that, I do want to note just for everybody watching, please note – next time Zach talks about their relationship, that he mentioned every single person on defense who could potentially be in the top three in sacks and did not mention Derek Barnett. I will be sending that to Barnett's people. and we'll see what he thinks about that. It's a good one because, you know, we're all going to be very focused on what Jalen Carter does. I think it's 50-50. If you assume that Brandon Graham's not going to be as productive as he was, then it's like a race between Milton Williams and Jalen Carter. But then you're bringing in potential injuries to the two guys on the outside. It's a fun one. What do you think that number is going to be? Water gun to your toe.
7.5.
Wow, 7.5 sacks. That'd be pretty good. It'd be crazy if he gets 7.5 sacks, but is fourth on the team in sacks.
That would be crazy. That'd mean they're in good. Yeah.
All right. My last one. I'm going to get a little bit show specific here, you know, a little navel gazy. I hope this doesn't happen because I want her to take full advantage of the leave that she has, you know, rightfully earned. But something tells me we know she's a sicko, right? I find it hard to believe. I hope she doesn't do this. I think that at some point, before she officially is off of parental leave, Marissa Dunn will appear on Birds with Friends.
Well, that's a bunt single.
What are you talking about? She shouldn't do that.
That's going to happen.
Why would it happen? She's been on the chat, but that doesn't count. To be on maternity leave and fire up like the webcam to have to do that? That doesn't seem reasonable. I just think it's a level of her sicko-dom.
We shall see.
Okay. I think that's going to happen.
All right. We'll see.
All right. We'll see. All right, Zach, let's talk predictions.
Oh, we're doing those today, not Friday.
Yeah. Well, Friday's about the game predictions.
Okay. All right. So I'm ready for this.
What's also interesting here is we'll find out because Marissa now has the power to give one of the two of us points. It's going to be fully in her control. If she decides that she likes you better, she just won't come on the show. If she decides,
both
deserve points, then she'll just do it.
That's okay. So I'll put it this. So I have them at 11-6, but I can see 12-5.
That's what I have too. That's too bad.
I'm going back and forth between 11-6 and 12-5. This schedule is hard, man. That November, December stretch, like, whew, you got to earn it. You got to earn it, man. And if you get injuries during that period, that could affect you. So I have 11-6. Okay. I think the,
is that winning the division?
Yes.
Okay.
Winning the division with a tiebreaker over the Cowboys.
Okay.
Okay. But not getting a first round bye. Okay. Home game in the first round. Okay. I have them winning the divisional round. I have them winning the championship round. And I have them losing in the Super Bowl.
Again, walking through the fire twice.
Yes.
Dying from smoke inhalation.
Yeah.
To who?
The Kansas City Chiefs.
Wow.
Look, I mean,
history is the best predictor, I guess.
And I'm going back and forth there. Like I like the Bengals a lot too. I know Shield does. I like, I think the Bills are really like not getting the credit they deserve. I think the Ravens are an underdog. I think that the AFC has like five. I think the Chargers can make a legit case to win the Super Bowl. Okay.
What about the Jags? They just played Andy Reid in the Super Bowl. What if Doug Peterson's next?
Yeah. So, and again, I think the Eagles are loaded. I think they're a really good team. And I think that the experience last year will help them. I'm going with, I don't know. I don't have an official prediction yet. I didn't know we were doing rundown?
You didn't fill out Josiah's?
Not yet. I was going to do that tonight. No. I've been tied up. Yeah, I don't think that was on the rundown.
No, but I said predictions. Okay. We're doing it in the written piece for tomorrow anyway.
Six very specific predictions for you to defend this title. Okay. Yeah.
This is what we do during the show. I'm sorry you don't remember what we do every year.
Yeah. I don't know.
You got to speak your truth. Man, that would be tough.
Yeah, getting there. And
Super Bowl rematch and losing again?
So this is the thing. I don't think there's a team in the NFC that's better than them. Like, I don't think they're losing to the Cowboys in the playoffs. I don't think they're losing to the Niners in the playoffs. So I think the Eagles make the Super Bowl. I like some of those AFC teams, man.
Yeah, but maybe going through the easier playoff road makes you better prepared than the teams who are going to have to go through the AFC gauntlet.
Yeah, that too. That too. By the way, I don't think it's like if you're picking a team to make the Super Bowl, that's really big deal, right? That's like,
yeah. Well, no, it's not a big deal. It's just a thing you're saying.
It's not. No, I'm just saying it's not like you're like a hater.
Wow.
All right, let's hear yours.
I have the Eagles 11-5 as well. I have them not winning the division. I have the Dallas Cowboys winning the division. I have the Eagles entering the playoffs as the number 5 seed. In the first round, in the wild card round, the Eagles travel to Lambeau Field. And they get a W. They beat Jordan Love. In the second round, they got to go to Dallas. And they get a W. They go to the NFC Championship game. In the NFC Championship game, in their third consecutive playoff road game, they lose. That's where I have the season ending. Sorry to be, I'm even less, more anticlimactic than you. I have the Eagles. I think it's just really, really hard. Last season was so special. I believe in the power of Jalen Hurts. I believe in the incredible roster on offense. The NFL is, there's too much unpredictability. I don't think they're, I think they're going to fall in the NFC Championship game and more smoke.
So what's your Super Bowl pick?
I haven't decided yet.
You give me that and you haven't decided yet? I was going on the spot and I was saying that, come on. I mean, all right.
I don't know. I'd like to be able to take credit for a few different things here. So
that's only as only you can.
Okay. Sorry. I feel bad for the listeners. It feels like they want They want to cancel Birds with Friends.
They don't know. They're loyal listeners.
I hope so.
Me too.
All right, Zach, are we doing just one more show this week? Friday?
Yeah,
week
Friday.
One Swooper?
Friday, then post game. Yep.
Okay. Well, I got to get in touch with Danez. See what we can do. Anything else we need to pay attention to this week?
Back at practice. Make sure. No, Hasan Reddick said he's going to play. You got nothing to worry about there.
By the way, I do think I was meaning to say this. Are we underplaying the Reddick thing? Like, do you think missing the summer for him is going to be a big deal? Is he going to take a step back?
No. But I think the inability or struggles, the grip could be something to pay attention to.
Especially if they want him to throw the ball.
That would be a problem.
Okay. You're not worried about Hasan Reddick.
No, I'm not. I think Hasan Reddick can get around the edge and hit a quarterback as well as anyone in the league. So we're up there.
All right. Well, I guess that'll do it for this episode of Birds with Friends. Some good predictions. We'll see what happens. We'll see if anybody gets on the board. So for Zach and the entire arc of the universe in which the Eagles have always beaten the Jets, never lost to the Jets, for Woody Johnson and for Maddie and all the Bermans, we thank you for listening. We will talk to you on Friday. And as always, we love you. Birds with Friends.